Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom-quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever. Guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's GHIRELLI.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
In this special audio cast, I'll admit it gets a little freaky because I interview someone who says he was possessed by the devil and then liberated. Do I believe this stuff? Will you? Well, you've just got to sit back and...
1, 2, 3, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, as I interview a very unique person. His name is Boris Rozumny, and he's got a very crazy background. He's from Russia. He was part of a international Olympic boxing team when he was younger. He comes to America, makes it on the big screen as a stunt actor, and then while he's living the time of his life, he gets possessed. I mean, you're going to hear some really strange, perhaps odd things that you're going to think, you know, Father Leo, why are you even interviewing a nutcase like this? Well, I'll tell you, I don't know if he is a nutcase. I still have a lot to learn about the supernatural world, even though I've been a priest for over 2 decades. And the reality is, we don't know everything, but I can tell you, you can judge by the fruits of something, whether it is true or not. As a matter of fact, in my carry-out order, I'm going to share with you a little bit more about how we determine the authenticity of supernatural experiences like miracles, like visions, like apparitions. But for now, I want you to enjoy this deep dish discussion with my special guest, Boris Rozumny. And if you believe him, great. If you don't believe him, great. Frankly, I don't care. It's just going to be an awesome discussion, which I am very proud to say is brought to you by BrandFox LLC. It's where customer fulfillment, service, and commerce come together. Basically, for BrandFox, what they do is they help out nonprofit ministries or small businesses that can sometimes lose focus on the mission and get caught up in the daunting task of commerce. So I actually use BrandFox, and I'm incredibly pleased that they are able to fulfill all of the orders that people have for my merchandise. So all you've got to do is learn about BrandFoxLLC.com. And if you want to use their service by getting any of my merchandise, all you've got to do is go to shop.FatherLeoFeeds.com. But for now, enjoy this deep dish discussion here on Shoot the Shiitake. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. And we've got here Boris Rozumny. And you heard his introduction. He's got a unique background. And what I want to do is just jump right into it. Tell me a little bit about your boxing career.
where I was abused and I was bullied at school.
And when you say abused and bullied at school, are you talking about like physically or sexually abused? Or
physically.
What?
Physically, okay. And emotionally.
By who?
Teachers and by students,
okay,
at school.
And why did they abuse you?
Because I looked very cool and I was cute as a kid.
Cool and cute. Two different things in some people's opinion. Okay. Yeah.
And so they just took me as a victim and another person as a victim, the same cute guy or...
Yeah, so they picked on you maybe because you just didn't look tough?
Yes.
Okay, but then you got tough enough that you actually went boxing, and then all of a sudden you get selected for the Olympics of Russia?
Yes, that's right.
So how long did you fight in the Olympic team for Russia?
For 4 years.
For 4 years. Did you win any medals?
Yes, of course.
Like what medals did you win?
Well, many tournaments in Russia, and it was for different republics like Ukraine, Russia, Belarus.
Uh-huh. Like and then what color medals did you get, though? Did you get
gold, silver?
Really?
Yeah, many.
So are you still a boxing kind of guy right now? Do you still fight?
Not really. I fight against demons.
Oh, we're gonna get to all of that. I mean, I just need to set this up, because if we just jumped right into the whole you were possessed by a devil, people are going to think, what kind of guest do you have on your show, Father Leo? I want to just get to the point where you were a boxer, and then you kind of you immigrated to America.
Yes, in 2005.
In 2005. And what did you do when you came to America? I mean, why did you even want to come here?
Well, for the first place, I wanted to become an actor in Hollywood, but I came to Chicago, and I stayed there for 3 years, and I worked as a teacher and coach, a fitness coach, and I worked for Ballet Hotel Fitness.
Oh, okay. So when you came to America, did you have the desire of becoming an American?
Yes.
Okay. So you came to immigrate to America, live the American dream. You start off as a fitness counselor for Bally's, right?
Yes.
I was a member of that, by the way. I think I need to keep going back there, to be honest with you. But then you wind up in Hollywood. Where did that dream come from? You want to be a Hollywood actor.
Well, when I was in Poland and Russia and Ukraine, I saw movies with Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee.
Well, did you study martial arts?
Yes.
Okay, so you know martial arts.
Yes,
that's something
right.
We have in common.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you also wanted to be an actor.
Yes, that's right.
Because you saw Jackie Chan?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, that's right.
This sounds like a crazy teenage dream.
That's right, yeah.
But you actually land a part.
Yes, that's right.
Tell me about that.
So after 3 years in Chicago, I lived in Chicago for 3 years, I moved to Los Angeles and I started acting as an extra actor in Hollywood. And from that point, I became a speaking actor and also a director of stunts in Hollywood. And that's how it started.
A director of what was that?
Director of stunts.
Stunts, what's that?
Stunts are...
Stunts. Oh, excuse me. Okay, stunts. So you were a director for stunts. You were like falling off buildings.
Yes, that's
what was
right.
The most dangerous stunt you've ever done?
Well, it was a car and the bicycle. So the bicycle was moving in front of the car, in front of the moving high-speed car, and that was the stunt.
You were actually riding the bike, or were you in the car?
Well, I was actually director of those stunts.
You were directing it.
So, I was directing it.
Have you ever been in any stunts, though?
Yes.
Which was your most dangerous stunt that you've ever had to be in?
It's only beating other people around.
Oh, beating people up?
Yeah, and that's it.
I guess that sounds dangerous. Okay, okay, no problem. Okay, I'll take that. And then were you finding yourself living the American dream?
Right now, I am living the American dream.
No, when you were younger.
When we were younger, no.
So you were not happy with your career. You had been growing in fame. You had speaking parts. You were directing stunts, and you were not happy?
No, I was not happy.
Tell me about that.
I felt a lot of emptiness. I went to the parties with famous and rich people around. I made a lot of friends from that area. But I was feeling myself like... I was empty. And
so you were living the American dream, but it was a nightmare.
Yes, inside.
Okay.
Outside, in appearance, yes. I was walking around with beautiful girls.
Uh-huh.
I went to a lot of parties, with famous people, but I didn't feel.
Okay, so one. Please forgive me. This is going to be just a real recap of my youthful days. There were two characters on Saturday Night Live. I think they were at least Eastern European, and they kind of have a similar accent where they said, we're just wild and crazy guys. And you were, in a way, living that wild and crazy guy moment.
Yes, that's right.
And then what happened?
Then in 2011, suddenly, after I achieved already a lot in Hollywood, I started working on my own feature movie, and it called Dead Snake. And when I was working in on that movie, suddenly black smoke started coming out of me, and I didn't know what it is. So
okay, hold on a second. Let me ask you. You wanted to work on your feature film. What was Dead Snake, a movie? What was it about?
It was about my previous life, my
So it was going to be like an autobiographical film?
Yeah, autobiographic film. Okay. Because I was born in Kazakhstan in a desert, and my toys were only dead snakes or horses that I could ride on. That's all.
Wow. That's so this is a really challenging for Americans. We would look at that and just feel sorry. Because we're so spoiled here, we have everything.
Very
but
right.
You growing up, you had it real simple. You come to America, you have it pretty good. You want to write your film about yourself. And then you said something that's very odd. Black smoke started coming out of you.
That's right.
I mean, most people are just going to ask, Father Leo, do you take this guy seriously? Is he like a normal person? I don't know. That's what we're shooting the shiitake for.
Right.
What do you mean by black smoke coming out of you?
Let me tell you a little bit story, because when I started working on my movie, I thought to myself, wow, I was born in a dysfunctional family. My father was an alcoholic, abused my mom, and was beating me also. And we were very poor. And suddenly I'm in Hollywood and making my own movie about my life. And I said, wow, it is great. I am so great. I don't have to thank to anybody. And suddenly that black smoke started coming off me.
I mean, out of where?
Out of my mouth, out of my nose, and out of my, I'm sorry, but out of my pants. And that black smoke filled up the whole room. And then I became miserable at one moment.
Okay, I guess the next question is, do you have any confirmation that you actually saw this, or could this be delusion? I mean, were you doing drugs at the time? Because that's part of the Hollywood industry. Was that something happening in your own mind that prevented you from seeing maybe this was imaginary?
Well, I was not taking any drugs or drinking alcohol.
So
or
you
any
were healthy.
Pills.
Good.
I was healthy, and nobody could beat me in Hollywood because I was a champion of the world in kickboxing.
Okay.
And that time I was the.
But the black smoke, did anyone else confirm that?
Nobody, because I was by myself in the room.
In your room. Okay.
Yeah.
So, there is no medical explanation for smoke coming out of you.
It was in 2011.
In 2011?
June 1st.
And what exactly did you think? What was going on in your mind? Because this sounds crazy.
That's right.
Yeah.
At that time, I thought to myself that I am going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking to myself that it is really miserable and I don't know that area, what is happening to me. I was thinking quickly, who can help me? But I knew that I am the strongest guy around, so nobody could help me. At that time, I wanted to take a knife and kill that whatever I felt inside. I felt a corpse inside, like it was something dead in me.
A body? A dead body inside.
Dead body inside. I didn't know.
So let me ask you, let's just back up a little bit. You arrived to America in 2005. And between 2005 and 2011, you're living the American dream.
Yes.
Were you practicing any type of faith? I mean, did you kind of have?
No.
So
nothing.
Did you grow up with faith?
No, nothing.
Why?
Because in Soviet Union, it was prohibited to say God, the word God at all. So I didn't hear about God at all.
So communism just prevented you from knowing who God is completely.
Yes, that's right.
So you come to America, and, you know, California is pretty liberal, but at the same time, people are religious there.
I didn't know about that.
You didn't know about
it. At that time.
You really had no clue about who God was.
No.
This is unbelievable, because a lot of my listeners will be surprised to hear that someone can literally grow up without any knowledge of God.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, black smoke is coming out of various parts of your body, which would literally scare me to death. And what happened to you? Obviously, you felt like you said something was inside of you.
Yes. I felt that there's something dead inside of me. I didn't know it as a soul. So I just wanted to take a knife and kill it. But I heard a voice that said to me, do not do that because you will kill yourself. But what is inside of you, you cannot kill with that weapon. So I didn't. I believed that voice.
What was that voice sound like? I mean, can you say, was it a man's voice, a woman's voice?
No, it was, right now I recognize it was a voice of an angel. So that's.
But you didn't even believe in angels.
I didn't know about that time, but now I know.
Oh, now you know, you're in hindsight. Okay, so now you're hearing voices, you're seeing smoke. What happens next?
Next, what happened, I remember that because I was traveling a lot, boxing around, and fighting as a prize fighter. And I went around in many churches in Ukraine, in Italy, in France, in the United States, but I did not believe. And I remember that people there said to me, hey, turn to God. He is good. He is merciful. He can help you to live a good life. I did not believe that. But at that night, I turned to God unknown to me. I said to him, God, please, help me with that. If you help me with that. And
what year was that?
It was June 1st, 2011.
Okay, so June 1st, 2011. And the smoke came when?
June 1st, 2011.
Oh, so, okay. So on that same night. Okay, same night. Boy, this is a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly if I had smoke coming out of parts of my body, I would be calling up every doctor, every exorcist, every priest, you know, every... Oh my gosh, I wouldn't even know where to begin. But so you turn to quote unquote God that you don't know, and I believe you. What happens?
Well, at that, I was crying almost the whole night on my knees and asked him, God, if you help me with that, what's something else happening in me? I'm scared to death. I will do whatever you tell me to do.
Okay, and what was that?
Then I felt asleep. And in the morning, when I woke up, in my chest, it was like right in hand, and I didn't hear it with my ears. It was in my heart, inside, rotten. It was written like this. This is my beloved son, Jesus. Listen to him. And that was in my heart, and my whole being was occupied with that. I could not think about anything else for about 2 hours.
You've never heard of Jesus?
Yeah, I heard of him, but I didn't know who he was.
Okay.
And I didn't pay attention.
So when you get this sense in your heart.
Yes.
And I believe you that someone can feel something written in their heart. I think that's just you paying attention. A lot of people might not understand that language. But clearly, I have no reason to believe that you're a crazy person. You felt that this was written in your heart. What were your thoughts?
My thoughts were none. Because I could not think about anything else, only about that sentence. This is my son, Jesus, listen to him. So that way, after 2 hours about, I started thinking myself and I thought, where can I find Jesus? Because I don't know anybody named Jesus and nobody in my friends named Jesus. So that's what I started thinking. And when I went on the parking lot, Jesus came to me.
Okay, and there's where we take a break, and we are going to come right back and hear what happens next. Is Boris just pulling my leg? Is he on something? Or do miracles happen? Let's figure it out when we return for more Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. And welcome back, Boris Razumny. I just hope I don't screw that name up too badly when I say it.
Pronounce it well.
Russian and Polish. You heard the story, ladies and gentlemen. He goes to the parking lot and meets Jesus. You've got to explain this because, again, some of our listeners are going to think, is this man crazy? Were you starting to think that of yourself?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's a good sign. That really, when people don't think they're crazy, to me, that's a problem.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm glad that you thought you were crazy because, to be honest with you, it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
So how did Jesus appear to you?
Well, Jesus appeared to me in the form of the picture in the mat.
In the mud?
Yes.
Okay, now this starts to sound crazy because I think people like see images of Mary in the toast.
You know, right?
Like, or it's like, oh, look at that cloud. It looks like, who knows what it looks like. So Jesus was in the mud.
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
Well, when I wanted to enter my car, I opened the door. And I opened the door. I wanted to get into my car because I had to go to the work.
Sure.
And I could not get into the car because invisible wall was there. And I could not get into the car. Three times I tried, but I could not.
An invisible wall.
Yes, invisible wall. And at that time, I heard the voice in my heart again. And it was from Jesus Christ, as I know now. I didn't know at that time. And he said to me, pick me up. And I looked down and I saw the picture of the shepherd in the mud. And I was really a clean person. I did not want to be dirty.
You're talking about pick me up.
As a picture.
Oh, there's a picture, an actual photo.
Actual photo of Jesus as a shepherd.
Oh, the good shepherd. Yeah. Okay, great.
So I started arguing with him. I said, no, I'm going to work with famous people, with rich. I have to be clean. And he said, pick me up. And I agreed. I picked up the picture from the mat with two fingers.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to get into the car and put that picture in the car. And I was driving and I thought, yes, I'm crazy.
Okay, good. Because this sounds bonkers.
Yes,
people are going to think, Father Leo, why am I listening to this crazy man on your show? But I'm going to keep listening because something obviously affected you.
Yes.
Because you say that you experienced Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And what happens next? And kind of fast forward it. Like, did you like start reading the Bible? Did you go to church? What happens?
Well, that was the first time that Jesus talked to me. But after that, he started talking to me on a regular basis. And he talks to me already 8 years. And so that's why I just listened to him. And he said to me at the beginning, please check out everything I tell you. Because even I talk to you and you know my voice, someone who is behind evil spirits can talk to you with my voice.
Okay, well, that's certainly true. We have traditions of saints who have been fooled or attempted to be fooled. Margaret Mary Alacoque is my perfect example. Devil came to her in the form of Jesus. Okay,
yes.
So
yes.
I mean, the problem with this is that it's called private revelation.
Yes.
So it's something specifically for you.
That's right.
I'm not going to try to take that away from you because obviously it's helped you.
Yes, that's right.
But now I got to ask, what does he sound like? And when and where do you hear him? I mean, do you have an appointment as the Blessed Mother sometimes keeps an appointment?
Well, there is no appointment, as you said, but it is going on his will. When he wants to talk to me, he talks to me.
And when was the last time he talked to you?
Yesterday.
And what did he say? Watch out for Father Leo. He's a crazy man.
No, he said to me, because for 8 years, every day in the morning, I ask him, what should I do? What is your will? And should I talk to Father Leo? Should I talk to other people or not? And what it is about? Is it your will? He said to me, yes, go forward, Father Leo. And you had to meet, and it is my will. So that's why I'm here.
Okay.
If he would tell me no, so I would not be here.
Yeah. Well, clearly. Well, I mean, again, this is engaging to me because, again, I don't know what to think, but I have no reason to think negatively because there's another side to this. You mentioned, at least in our pre-interview, that you were possessed by seven demons.
That's right.
Is that the black smoke? And how long did this last? And how were you, quote unquote, exorcised?
It lasts from 2011 until 2013.
Okay.
And 2 years I was fighting seven demons, and Jesus gave me this prayer to fight them.
Okay.
And it is a special prayer. I was repeated it all day long, every day. At the first, I could not even concentrate on that prayer because.
What was the prayer?
The prayer was, my Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Where did you learn that?
Jesus gave it to me.
Did you go to church?
No.
You still didn't go to church. After 2011, you pick up this little holy card of Jesus. You still didn't go to church.
Yes.
What is your problem, Boris?
My problem is that after...
When was the first time you walked into a Catholic church then?
Into Catholic church first time I walked in 2012, because Jesus said to me that I do not want your blind faith. I want you to know your faith. That's why he said, compare me, read the Bible, the gospel, compare me to all others, founders of the other churches, philosophers, and you'll see who I am.
So you are, quote unquote, battling seven demons inside of you, and yes. Jesus gives you this prayer, and yes. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, you might be now, but that's actually one of the acts of contrition that people say after they go to confession. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So that, or Son of David, or Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So this is interesting, because you're saying that you've never heard this before, yet Jesus told you to say it.
That's right.
But you did not actually go to a priest or a minister or an exorcist. They didn't kind of strap you down.
Nobody.
You've never gone to confession.
Nobody.
And so, in other words, you can fight evil on your own.
It's Jesus,
with Jesus' help. Yeah,
yes.
Because he's obviously the one. I mean, an exorcist does nothing. Jesus does everything.
Yes, Jesus alone.
Okay. So let's just again fast forward, because another part of your story is that in 2014, you get cancer.
Yes.
Where?
Where? The thing is that...
Where? What kind of cancer, in other words?
It is lung cancer and spine cancer.
This is an ugly form of cancer.
Yes, it was fourth stage and I was dying.
But look, you're a healthy guy. I mean, didn't you go to the doctor? Couldn't they pick this up?
No, they couldn't, because I went to the doctors, and for 40 days exactly, there is a reason for that, I went to doctors, they could not find anything.
Mm-hmm.
Only after 40 days, they found that I have spine squeezed by cancer mass.
And what do you mean? I get the symbol of 40 days, but what are you talking about? You went to the doctor, just a regular checkup or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
I had a pain, excruciating pain on March 5th of 2014. It was Wednesday of Ash Wednesday.
Okay. So Ash Wednesday, great pain came to you. And then 40 days later, you're diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Yes, that's right. In my lungs and my spine. And I was paralyzed.
Unbelievable.
At that time.
So, first of all, that's tragic sounding to a young man who is obviously making a dream. And then all of a sudden, you get cancer on top of after fighting seven demons in your, you know, your estimation. Did you just kind of, when did you actually start becoming Catholic, though? Let me ask you that.
I went to the Catholic Church, but Jesus did not ask me to become a Catholic. I became a Catholic in 2016.
2016, after you get cancer?
Yes.
Where's the cancer now?
Because cancer is gone, so I'm clean. But it was the whole story behind
that. Did you go to chemotherapy? Did you do all of that?
Yes, I did chemotherapy, radiations. I was not able to eat or drink. I was...
Are you married?
Not now. I was married.
But you were married. Who took care of you?
I was in UCLA hospital.
So the hospital
for six
took care
months.
Of you. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Did you have family or friends to kind of console you?
Yes, they came... They came, friends, a lot of friends. My family, my sister, my ex-wife came from Europe and helped me in the hospital.
And then how do you think you were cured from cancer? Because I know that there is a story there.
Yeah, it is a miracle, as doctor said, that it was a miracle. And my friends called me a walking miracle because I was dying in pain. And I could not handle it after third chemotherapy. I said to myself, in my thoughts, because I was paralyzed.
Sure.
I said, I will run out of this because pain is so excruciating.
Can't
I could not
imagine.
Handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to run out. And suddenly an angel came and was sitting on my bed and gave me two options. He said, Boris, if you will run out from the hospital from pain, you will do your own will. I cannot help you. If you stay and drink your chalice of suffering till the end, as Jesus did, I will cure you. And after that conversation, I decided...
What did the angel look like?
It's a light.
Just light?
Yeah.
Man or woman?
No, there is no gender.
Okay. Oh, gosh, in today's political world, they would be very happy about that. So you experience this, you experience something supernatural, this unique supernatural conversation. It sounds pretty legitimate, and it sounds kind of like the angel with Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
And you do have a choice.
Yes.
And you chose to stay, drink the suffering, and now you're cured.
Yes. After 40 days, doctors did x-rays, CT scans, and they said, you're free from cancer.
In 40 days, you were freed for cancer.
Yes.
Okay. Is this documented? Are you keeping this? And so now,
of course,
because what are you doing? Because this sounds, then, hold on a second, then you become Catholic, right? I mean, after...
Yes, in 2016, so because it happened in 2014.
2014, the sickness comes about. 2016, you become Catholic, but you didn't become Catholic when you were sick.
No.
Okay, what made you become Catholic, if you can sum it up?
Jesus Christ told me, you have to become Catholic on paper now.
Okay.
And I, that's why
I became Catholic. Did you go to church and pray? Did you?
Yes, I've been going to church, to Catholic church, from 2012 to Our Lady of Malibu.
Okay.
I've been every day in the church, every day.
So 2012,
yes.
You've been going to church every day. In 2016, you become Catholic.
Yes.
Great. And then... paper. And on paper, but you were always that, almost in your heart from 2012.
Yeah, in my heart, I was a Catholic.
So now what do you do, Boris? Because you sound so unique. I mean, my show is about interviewing people who are different from me. And even though we're Catholic, and I do believe in miracles, and I do believe in healing, you're a different person altogether.
I'm glad.
Well, you are. I mean, so what are you doing now?
Well, right now I'm going to church twice a day, every day from September 2017.
Amazing.
I volunteer countless of hours in our communities around Malibu, Pacific Palisades, and Santa Monica. I help people for free. I am a spiritual advisor. I'm counseling people for free. I help people, driving them to the churches, to the doctors, to do groceries. I help the sick.
How do you take care of yourself? Are you working though?
No. I don't work because Jesus said, do not work for money anymore, work for me. So he appointed me as a spiritual advisor, and that's what I do.
And so how do you pay bills? Let me just be
Jesus
very practical.
Jesus provides.
Jesus, and I love this because Mother Teresa would say the exact same thing, and she drove me crazy because, I mean, it's like, well, how do you do that? I mean, so are you living off of just generosity of people or literally, I mean, do you live in your own home? What's going on?
Literally, that Jesus provides me with everything. And for example, people just come to me, give me new shoes. People just buy me a phone. My friends, whom I actually help with different things for free, and I don't charge people from March 5th.
You're living a completely different life than what you probably imagined, huh?
Yes, completely different. And I live as Jesus ask me to live in voluntary poverty.
In voluntary poverty?
Yes.
Any other promises you've made to him?
Yes. In the perpetual chastity and absolute obedience in what is not sinful.
In what is not
sinful. To everybody
sinful.
Around me.
Okay.
Anyone. Homeless, poor, sick, whatever.
Okay. And are you kind of, hate to say it, going out and speaking, evangelizing? Are you like a speaker, a presenter? I just kind of want to hear what's going on now.
Yes, I am going to speak everywhere that people around invite me to speak. I speak to children at schools. I speak to
What if
adults.
They pay you? What if they say, I'd love for you to come and let me pay you, I don't know, $500? What do?
So far, nobody paid me,
and
I did it for free. If anybody will pay me, I will share it with the poor, with the homeless, with the needy.
Okay. So what do you think, because we only have a few minutes, what do you think your mission is then? What's your mission and your message?
My mission is to glorify God through what I do and to serve His people. And the thing that I tell everybody around that come to Jesus and you will experience joy, peace, and love in your heart from inside out, and live life of joy, peace, and love no matter what happens around me. And my message is, I was dead and now I'm alive. Jesus saved my life. My story is God's glory. Come to Jesus.
Okay, I'm going to ask you three questions, all right? What makes you mad? I mean, like, everyone has a bad day. You're still human.
Yes, that's right.
And you've experienced, you've got smoke coming out of your body. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Right,
you're talking about demons inside of you and then cancer, for God's sakes.
Yes.
What makes you mad now? Like, what exactly upsets you? What throws you off?
There is no emotional upsets in me or madness, but there is a Holy Spirit who is weeping when I see when people reject Jesus Christ.
Okay.
That's the only thing.
So, and then what makes you happy?
Makes me happy when people obey Jesus.
Okay. So, I mean, if we were to talk about something challenging like, you know, people who are very contrary to Jesus, or they live an alternative lifestyle, but they don't hate Jesus.
Yeah.
They're just not Christian. They're not Catholic. They might not even be following all the commandments, but they don't dislike Jesus. How do you feel about that? Does that turn you, does that make that spirit within you weep?
Yes. I love them, and I talk to them. I have a lot of unbelievers, friends, and I help them, take them to their airports, or talk to them about souls and spirits. But yes, the Holy Spirit in me weeping.
What is the final question? What can I as a priest do to help you? Well, how can I be a better priest for you, in other words?
Yes, for me, the only thing that priests can do.
No, I'm talking to me. Because I love, you tell me, because I can't tell my brother priest to even like clean up the sacristy after church, you know. What can I, Father Leo, do to be a good priest for you, Boris Razumny?
For me, Boris Razumny, if you just share my message and share what Jesus did with me, he converted me. And now I live a joyful, peaceful, and the life of love. And if you can share my story with others and give me the opportunity to share it and tell people around more about Jesus Christ and eternal life and the better life, how people can live a better life on earth and make the world to be a better place to live in. So that's how you can help.
So I'm just going to sum it up. What I can do for Boris is just do what Jesus is telling me to do. Spread the good news.
That's right.
Boris, it was a pleasure to chat with you. When I return, I am going to come back with my carryout order. What did I learn? What did I experience? How is this going to help me to be a better person and a better priest in the future? And I will do that when we return with more Shoot the Shiitake. And thank you. God bless you, Boris.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for the carryout order after hearing something like that with Boris Razumny. What do you think? Well, I can tell you what I think. I think that something certainly happened to this man that changed his life, where he now lives an incredibly simple and incredibly powerfully effective witness to Jesus Christ. I mean, this is a guy who did not even know who Jesus was. They were not allowed in the communist Russia era to even talk about God because the government was God. It's no different from like what the emperors tried to be in the Roman times. And so I do think that God does speak in very powerful ways. And I hope you enjoyed that discussion. And I hope you felt that I was being respectful to him. And hopefully hear the authenticity of him coming from a man who has had many unique experiences. He almost dies, for God's sakes. I mean, this guy has went through literally hell and back. But what I want to do is I want you to learn, really, that the Catholic Church, number one, and here's a good carryout order, we believe in the supernatural world. We really do. We believe in exorcisms. You've heard my interview. If you haven't, then you can go back on in the archives and listen to the interviews with an exorcist. So we believe that possession and demonic forces are real, and they are out there. And whether we know it or not, we can open ourselves up to it, whether it be for Boris with perhaps pride, but he was trying to be a healthy man. He didn't do any drugs. He was just a totally fit individual. But guess what? He did not actually know God. And that is a way for evil to kind of manifest itself in you by not knowing God. And then, of course, you heard the rest of the story. I will have to admit, it's intense. So how does one evaluate whether a guy's just crazy, a whack job, and just kind of making this stuff up as he goes along? Or does the church actually have a process to determine all of these things? Well, we do. Let me explain what they are, first of all. We have to make sure that there is a process. First of all, a private revelation is a private revelation. In other words, we don't need it to help us in our faith. But sometimes we do. We actually don't need it in our faith at all, because we have the public revelation. The public revelation are the scriptures. It's the tradition. It's the teachings of the church. Those are, in a way, how God has publicly revealed God's power and love to everybody. We don't actually need to hear of these many, many miracles that we have in our Catholic Church, from the apparitions in Medjugorje. And by the way, I go there, and that's kind of where I experienced my vocation, to Lourdes in France, to Our Lady of Fatima. You know, we've heard how saints have appeared to people, how miracles have actually been the determining factor whether or not a person who has died can be proclaimed a blessed, a beatified, or sanctified, become canonized as a saint. So there is a reality. The church believes in this supernatural world. And the church also believes that there is evil that actually fights against the good. And the good have to, in a sense, fight against evil, because if good does not fight against evil, then evil will grow. But when it comes to things like these messages, we have to be very careful, because it's very easy to get caught up into the sensational aspect of these miraculous things. One thing that I can say that I liked about Boris is that he wasn't trying to get me to believe him. I honestly felt like he was incredibly sincere, because he was not trying to convince me that these things happened to him. And he didn't have any other message that wasn't contrary to the scripture. So let me get a little specific here. All right. So in order for something to be official, there are a couple different ways that we look at it. And apparitions, miracles, private revelations are classified in three ways. They are either classified as, one, not worthy of belief, or two, not contrary to belief, or three, worthy of belief. Let me repeat that. Not worthy of belief. Two, not contrary to the faith. And three, worthy of belief. In other words, that first level is, don't listen to this. This is nonsense. This is crazy. This is not worthy of you even trying to believe that it's true or not. So it's basically a big negative. The second one is where actually a lot of private revelations exist, or they're judged as not contrary to the faith. In other words, as long as something isn't contrary to the Catholic faith, you can believe it, but it's not like necessary for your salvation. And that's the big thing. What is necessary for salvation? Believing in the public revelation of Jesus Christ. And then there's this third category that gives kind of like a nod, a check mark, a plus sign, and it basically says worthy of belief, that yes, there are reasons to believe that these miracles are actually true. And that is a big deal. Why? Because that's how we approve private revelations. You know, at present, Medjugorje in Croatia, where the Virgin Mary is appearing to like these six kids, or has appeared to these six children, there hasn't been any formal declaration. In fact, there's been a lot of equivocation, but that's been true for a lot of religious apparitions and such. So what's the criteria? There's actually generally a four-part criteria to determine the authenticity for the discernment of private revelations or miracles. First of all, the first norm for evaluating miracles is that there must be moral certainty, or at least great probability that something miraculous has actually happened. And that's why you have a group of people who are sent to interview visionaries, call on witnesses, visit the site of the events, bring scientists, bring doctors, and they actually have to say that, you know, there's a great probability that something miraculous has actually occurred. Like in Boris's case, you know, he was cured. So that's kind of miraculous, especially since it wasn't expected. The second norm deals with the personal qualities of the subjects who claim to have had the apparition or this miraculous thing happen. Are they mentally sound? Are they honest, sincere, of upright conduct, obedient to ecclesiastical authorities, able to return to normal practices of the faith, such as going to, you know, to Mass or reception of the sacraments? Or are they just becoming a bunch of these weirdos and therefore they kind of create themselves as little prophets walking around and asking people for money, you know? That kind of stuff is key. You have to look to see if this person is sound. I will admit, when I spoke to Boris, there was something not off, but something different about him. There was something different about him. He was just unbelievably joyful. And that saddens me to know that that's what's different about him. He was just joyful. I mean, he was trying very hard to maintain always a level of calm and peace, which always leads to joy. And this is a man who has had very difficult experiences in his life. And so, you know, it's kind of weird that he was so happy all the time. But that's a good sign. And another good sign is that he could live as normal of a life as possible, although he was kind of asked by the Lord to give up all things and to live an evangelical poverty, truly a radical evangelical poverty. And that's a little powerful sign for me, that in reality, if he was asking for money, then that would be a problem, but he didn't. In fact, he's giving his money away. He gives things away, and he lives off of the kindness of people, not their generosity, just kindness. He doesn't ask for things, apparently. You know, at least that's what he mentioned to me, that he's not asking for anything. And I didn't give him anything. I gave him a bottle of water just because he had finished an interview, and I had an apple that I was going to throw away, and he took it gratefully, but he didn't ask for anything else. So anyway, a third category deals with the content. And by the way, if you hear thunder, it's kind of weird because I'm talking about the supernatural right now and there's thunder and lightning. Ugh. Anyway, the third kind of category deals with the content of the revelation or the message. It's got to be theologically acceptable and morally sound and free from error. And that's where theologians and moral theologians and dogmaticians, they will come and they will investigate what exactly is the point of this revelation, this message. And as long as it's sound, it's okay. And the fourth criteria is that the apparition must result in positive spiritual assets which endure. So prayer, conversion, increase of charity. In other words, we just check the fruits. What are the fruits of this experience, this private revelation, this miraculous experience? Is it something that is enduring? So these are the things that come about when something like a Boris Razumny, someone like a Boris Razumny comes and they bring to you how they experience these miraculous healings. What are you supposed to do with it? Well, thankfully, the church has a criteria that we actually put it through a scientific rigor. And the things that we've got to do is to pay attention not just to the sensationalism, but to the reality. And one of the things that the church is always concerned is number one, the healthiness of that person. Because if that person did experience something supernatural, is it of God or is it of the devil? I'm grateful to say that in Boris's case, he's living a holy life now. Very holy life, miraculously holy life. You know, the idea of him not seeking financial gain. All he wanted to do was kind of share his story, not for notoriety, but just to spread this good news, this message, this happiness, this joy that he was honestly just a little infectious, to be honest with you. You know, he is not unlike so many other people in our church's history. There have been many people who've experienced some powerful and profound, miraculous, supernatural, rather unexplainable things. Our job is to listen with an open heart, but also with an informed conscience and mind, and also never to be afraid. And also, if it helps you to live a holier life, then that's a good thing. And so that is my carry-out order. I just wanted to share with you a little bit more of the church's process and all of this, and I hope that it makes sense. And if you did enjoy this, please be sure to spread this podcast with family and friends, parishioners and pastors. Encourage them to just sign up. It's free. on any podcast platform. And then also, if you like this, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/fatherleofeeds. And you could also just go to my website, fatherleofeeds.com, and hit the donate button. And basically, we just need your support in order to continue to keep this stuff going. So even just a $5 a month gift can certainly help. $10 or more each month is going to give you premium content, which is basically extra stuff. And on Patreon, it's even easier to find now. You're going to see all of that stuff. Now, when you give a little bit more, you're going to be getting free merchandise. We're just going to get merchandise personally dedicated. You're going to get access to, you know, to me a little bit more, asking me some questions. And then, of course, if you even are the biggest ticket item, which is basically a Plate and Grace partner, I come to your home and I cook you a meal. How awesome would that be? And I'll even do a show at your home as well. So, anywho, I hope you enjoyed this special broadcast. Special thanks to Boris, and all the best to him, and God bless him. And between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.